So we left off last time. We had a chance in our first year in the Sugya Sefiras Omer, number one, to see the basic, the core Gemara in Menachas Avav Mar Aleph, and to take a look at what appears to be a Machlokas, Tosas and Rov Rishonim against the Rambam, where the Sefiras Omer is Mazez Daraisa's Rabbanan. A Maimar clearly holds it is Rabbanan, and that's why he only counted days but not weeks. And what the position of the other Amoraim is a good question. Tosos clearly says, he seems to indicate that Drabban l'chuli alma, and some machlokas over details, given that it's Drabbanan, should we be counting just days or days and weeks as well? While the Kesef Mishnah believes that the Rambam disagrees. And the Ran thinks so as well, although the Ran sounds like he's leaving an opening for a different way of reading the Rambam. If you're interested, you can take a look at the Radvaz, who I think does read the Rambam differently. But be that as it may. So that's sort of the opening of the whole topic of Sefiras Omer. And we turned our attention specifically the end of the Tosfos Samach Vav and Aleph, and quotes the Shita of the Bahag that if you miss a day, you're out. Guys pointed out that that's not the way it appears in Tosfos and Megillah. The Tosfos in Menachas and Rov Rishon will quote the Bahag. The Rosh and the Ran and others say that the Bahag was of the opinion, you miss a day, you're out. Tosis is very bothered by that. They're so bothered, they can't even tell you why they're so bothered. It's just absurd, it's untenable, it's unacceptable. And so the Rosh, at the end of Pesachim, tells us what the kasha of the Bali Tosis is. And by the way, it's not his own kasha. It's clearly the kasha of the earlier Tosis because he quotes it as the Re. Re Bala Tosis, who was really the founder of Tosis, the nephew of Ben Tam, the great grandson of Rashi, first or second generation of Bala Tosis. So Rashi says, the Re was very bothered. What do you mean? Every day is a separate mitzvah. So how you talking that you missed a day and you're out? And then we left off last time the Prima got him. Prima got him in his Eshel Avram, which is officially a commentary on the Magen Avram, the Perish on the Shulchan Aruch. But he, at that point, is really asking on the Shulchan Aruch, and really what he's asking on is the Bahag. The Shulchan Aruch is lending some weight to the Bahag. Prima got him says, what do you mean? You make a new bracha every day. You make a new bracha every day, and that's really the basis for what the Rush quotes from the Re. You make a new bracha every day. Don't you see that every day is a separate mitzvah? Like I put on, every day I put on tefillin, I make a bracha on tefillin. I made a bracha yesterday on my tefillin, I made a bracha today on my tefillin, Ritzim tomorrow, make a bracha on my tefillin. I mean, tefillin on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, it's not three different mitzvahs in the Tariq mitzvahs. It's the same mitzvah of Shaliyah, same mitzvah of Shalosh, but additional iterations, additional independent fulfillments of the mitzvah of tefillin. Said, yesterday I was Mekayim Mitzvah Tefillah, I made a bracha on that. Today I was Mekayim Mitzvah Tefillah, I make a bracha. Tomorrow I was Mekayim Mitzvah Tefillah, I make a bracha also. If for some reason a person either me'ones or tragically beratzon did not put on tefillin, so that's unfortunate or tragic, either at onus or beratzon. But either way, that doesn't impact the quality of his Kiyum HaMitzvah Tefillin the day before or the day after. They're independent iterations of the Mitzvah Tefillin. So the question is, what's going on here? You make a bracha every day on Sefiras Omer. So it doesn't seem like it's one big mitzvah with 49 parts. They should be making one bracha. So that's the way the Prima Gadim, you put the Prima Gadim together with the Rosh, it seems to be the kasha on the Bahad. Okay, so let's take see if we can develop. They mentioned the other day, not one but hopefully two different approaches to making sense of the Bahag. The first begins we'll turn our attention to some of the sugyas in Arvei Pesachim. So number one is a curious Mishnah. Mishnah the Machlokes seems to have Machlokes whether Charusas is a mitzvah or not. It's a Mishnah Arvei Pesachim, the second Mishnah Kuf Yudal Amud Aleph. The first Mishnah Kuf Yudal Amud Aleph is beginning the Seder of the Seder, Mosul Kos Rishon, and what had the Mishnah's discussion, how do you say Kiddush? And then the second Mishnah says, after Kiddush is done, they bring the karpas. Metabel, and you dip that, you dip your, it seems to be talking about the karpas. And then the Mishnah says, then we're going to have the Haggadah, which is coming up soon. But that's going to be a while off. Ach Megillah, Paras Afas, you'll get up to that. You'll ultimately get around to eating the bread, the matzah, and other things. And the Mishnah says you bring out the, what we call the Ka'ara. Have you the fun of matzah, the chazaras, the charoses, ushnei tavshun? They bring out to the one who's leading the Seder, the matzah, and the maror, and charoses, and the zroah, where well, we have zroah and beitza, two tavshilim. Some Rishonim refer to it as a basket. You think of it as a flat tray or flat plate. Whatever it is, you bring out all the equipment you need for the Seder. Even though the charos is not a mitzvah, you still bring it out. And then Rav Elazar ben Tzadok says, no, it is a mitzvah. And then the Mishnah ends that b'tkufas hamikdash, you bring out the Karan Pesach will be on the table. That'll be the halachic centerpiece of the Magid, was the Karan Pesach. So lighter, unfortunately, we don't have a Karan Pesach. So we have to make do with everything else, with the matzah, the mar, the charos, and the shenei tavshin. But what's this machloka that the charos is a mitzvah, not a mitzvah? So Gemara's obvious question, which Rashi really tells you here, wait a minute, if not a mitzvah, what are you doing it for? We don't bring pineapples to the Seder, because there's no mitzvah to have pineapple to the Seder. There's no mitzvah to have charosah to the Seder, unless you have pineapple in your charosahs. No mitzvah to have a charosah, wait, there's no mitzvah. So what does that mean? So what does the Gemara explain, kuf tazayin? Everyone agrees you have to have charosahs, but mitzvah means...
A mitzvah would be zikr le-tir zikr.
Good.
And not a mitzvah, it's to get rid of this kappa...
Right. This unhealthy sap, this unhealthy bug, something going on, right? The Tanakama holds exactly. What is the Tanakama holds? It's just to solve some technical problem. So it seems like, sounds like to solve some sort of health problem that you may incur from eating the maror. So you have to neutralize a health problem by dipping the charosis. But it's not a mitzvah, there's no positive fulfillment, you're just avoiding a problem. And Rav Elazar ben Tzadok says, no, it's zecher l'tit, zecher l'tapuch, it's to remember either different aspects of the shibud or of the geula. Right? Maybe it's zecher l'tapuch, sounds like it's a zecher to the bitachon that the Jewish women had, that the geula would yet come, even when it was hard to see it coming. So zecher l'tit, zecher l'tevin, zecher l'tapuch, and that's why, as the Gemara points out, we have a rich recipe for what charosis is supposed to be. As a matter of fact, there's a very fascinating tosis here. The Rishonim spend time talking about how, each one spends time talking about how he made charosa. So you saw the Rambam Pirush HaMishnah gives his, they would have the fruit together with the vinegar and spices. Now that's because the Gemara mentioned all three things. Zechel Tapuach, since we have fruit, and some of this can make it thick. Then you also have Yisroch L'Kahuye. That's Yisroch L'Kahuye, the Gemara says. Yisroch L'Kahuye, and you have to have a certain degree of acid in it. So that's what Rambam sounds like he's talking about. He was not using acidic fruit, so he added vinegar. Then Yisroch L'Samuche, you want to make it thick like the tit. So that's why he's putting in those the dates and figs. And it's a zeichel teva, and you want to put in spices that will give you sort of the look of straw. Tosis gives their recipe. Tosis quotes actually very fascinating Shuas HaGaonim. You also want to have the fruits sort of expanding on the idea of tachas et tapurach ha'artich to have the different, try to have as many of as possible of the fruits that are used in Shir HaShirim to describe Klal Yisrael, or to describe the beauty of Vishnu Tei Kadosh Baruch Hu in Klal Yisrael. A Shir HaShirim Pesach connection. But they talk about having, in addition to tapuach, trying to get pomegranate and figs and dates and almonds and walnuts to try to get as much as you can in. It's hard to get, recently it's been more difficult to get kashrut Pesach dried figs. So sometimes the recipe you have more, sometimes you have less. You see what you can get. But that's the position of Elazar ben Tzadok. Okay, so he holds it's a mitzvah as opposed to just being a solution to the practical problem of kafa, And that's what, because the zecher to X, Y, and Z, zecher tapuach, and the zecher letit, and zecher letaven, and as an aside, next time you make charoses, so the ideal way to, it depends if you're in charge of making charoses or not, or if you're in charge of deciding what the charoses should look like. But ideally, you want to use not ground cinnamon, but cinnamon bark, and break it down, because the point of the cinnamon is mentioned as one of the options for the zecher letaven. You really want to have is you look at the charoses and there are little sticks in it. So they talk about using either ginger or depends a different type. Rishon lived in different climates and they had different plants available. But the cinnamon is mentioned as a way of getting that straw look. So ideally, you want to have cinnamon bark. You break it down into like a food processor or something, or old fashioned mortar and pestle, and you might have things that look like straw that are strewn around your charoses. But be that as it may, so that's the Machlokas HaTanaim. It's clear in the Talmud Bavli. Machlokas HaTanaim, where there are, Reb Elazar b'Tzadok says, Charoses Mitzvah, which means a Zecher to all these different things. Whereas the Tanna Kamma says, no, it's not a Zecher to anything. It's just a practical solution to some sort of health concern of Kafa. Then the Nosa Kalim point out that there's something strange afoot in the way the Rambam read this Gemara. Sometimes the problem with Rambam doesn't say enough. Here the problem with Rambam seems to say too much. What's the issue with the Rambam between the Pirush HaMishnayos and the Mishnah Torah? Yeah?
Well, he says it's not a mitzvah, or you don't pass on it, or you don't pass on it, or it's a mitzvah.
Oh, good. So the one issue is, how do we pass it? Right, so here you have the Brahma's Pirush HaMishnayos. This is the, what you have in front of you is the Masada Rav Kook edition of Mishnayos with Pirush HaRambam. Masada, part of the godless of Masada Rav Kook edition is that it's Rav Kafach's translation, directly a fresh translation from the Arabic, which often is far more precise than the earlier translations, which some are better than others. See, here he says at the end of the Mishnah, after he gives you the whole recipe, is Rabbi Tzadok, Shaomer Charoses Mitzvah, Chayiv Ledato Lebarecha, Sheik Yisham Tzotzev Vitzivano, Alachil as Charoses. Why do we care whether it's a mitzvah or not? Either way, you have to have Charoses. No, Nafkamine is Bracha, according to Rabbi Tzadok. It's a mitzvah, you got to have a Bracha. Ain't a halacha, but we don't pask it that way. It says, we don't make a Bracha. Why? Because we don't pass like Rabbi Tzadok. It was his girsa. Was Rabbi Tzadok, and that's footnote number 12. Is there blood Rabbi Tzadok? Is there Rabbi Tzadok? So it says, okay, good. So the machloikas was, you make a bracha or not? And we don't make a bracha because we pass like Tana Kama. Now, what's the problem? You turn to Chilchas Kama to Matzah, near the end of Perek Zayin, he tells you right off the bat. The first thing he says about Charoses, the halacha Yud Aleph is the halacha of Charoses. Halacha Yud Beis is already on tomorrow. Halacha Yud is still dealing with Arbakosa. So this is the entire Hilchas Charoses, the mitzvah of Charoses, if there is, right here, and he starts right away, the way he usually starts the talk, but I tell you, mitzvah X. Mitzvah medivrei sofrim. To have charoses is a mitzvah medivrei sofrim. And he tells you, zecher lefit. And gives you a recipe. How do you make it? You take the tamarm or the grogros or tzimukim, some sort of dried fruit. Vikayotzebehen, not makbid, which one? You take some sort of dried fruit that will give you the texture that you're looking for, and you pound it, and then you add in some vinegar, and you put in spices, the top one, like that will look like tit b'teven, when I get that look. You bring it to the table at the Seder. So the Magid Mishnah just says, yeah, we pass it to those Rav Tzadok. See, Magid Mishnah Yidalov, in the Halach Yidalov, he said, the Mishnah has a machlokas. Halacha came also, we pass like Rav Tzadok. Because after, how does Rambam know that? So he says, because you see the Amoraim are handling Shakul V'Torah Amoraim Eli Beit. The whole discussion is Zeichel Tit, Zeichel this, Zeichel that. So obviously, that's how I pass. And we even had a Brisa, another Brisa that we quoted. So that's how we pass. Yeah, the Meravim Manoach gives you a long, the bottom, he gives you a long, long, very detailed the recipe. The Lecha Mishnah, the Magen Mishnah is very calm about it. He says, yeah, Pasul like or Lazar Tzadik. Not surprising. Look at the Gemara. You get the impression Pasul Lazar Tzadik. That's around Paskin. Shai. Lechemish on the bottom, he's already getting upset about it. Lechemish on the bottom, he says, what do you mean? Kan Pasul Lazar Tzadik. Kiddikasav, hey, hey. Hey, hey is Harav Hamadin. The Perish of Mishnah is the opposite. It says, ain't Lacha Kimosis. It must be that he... must be that he changed his mind. Now we know that he wrote the Perish HaMishnayis when he was younger. He wrote the Mishnah Torah when he was older. So he says, and this is not the only time, that far from the only time the Rambam changed his mind from the Perish HaMishnayis to the Mishnah Torah. As a matter of fact, Rav Kafach did his translation with access to he identified up to four versions. The Rambam editions Rambam went through of his Pirush HaMishnah. Rav Kafach was so masur to the Rambam over the decades of working on the Kisvei Yad, the original manuscripts of the Rambam, he learned to distinguish how the Rambam's handwriting evolved as he aged. Rav Kafach probably knew the Rambam's handwriting better than the Rambam knew the Rambam's handwriting. So he's there because you have different manuscripts of the Rambam, crosses things out and changes them. So over time, the Rav Kafach writes about extensively in the introduction to Perish HaMishnayis that he reconstructed. The Rambam went through four editions of the Perish HaMishnayis, and that most of the other translations are based on the earlier editions, because the Rambam would write and then people would copy. So most of the copies that got around were based on the second edition. So the translators are looking at that. Rav Kafach says, if you go back to the original, we don't have everything in Rambam's hand. We have a lot of Perish HaMishnayis in Rambam's own hand. So often you could find the third or fourth edition also. And Rav Kafach points out from time to time, there'll be a steer between Perish HaMishnayis and Rambam's Mishnah Torah, where if you go back to the later editions, you'll see Rambam himself changed what he wrote in Perish HaMishnayis. It's very clearly a change of heart. There's a Rambam in the first paragraph, near the end of the first paragraph of Psachim, where he changes his mind, from edition 2 to 3, about the din of Cher Rekachal. That was always said to be a steer between the Rambam and the Perish HaMishnayis, the Rambam and Mishnah Torah. And the Rambam said, look, you see, he changed his mind. You see, he had written this, and then he crossed it out and wrote something else. And the something else, the later version, is what appears in the Mishnah Torah. It's not he was a dynamic learner, and he came back to Sugi again, and he changed his mind. So that's honest. That's the way it's supposed to be. So that's the way Lecha Mishnah writes that way. Meirosh, he doesn't say stira. He says the chazarba. He says he's bothered, and he says nirish a chazar kaima shakasav. I think he changed his mind. I don't think it's a mistake there. I don't think a mistake here. He changed his mind, but he raises the question of the Targum says Tom. The Rambam changed his mind on 2 points. So the Lecha Mishnah subtly points out to us. What are the 2 points he changed his mind on? And? Who do we pass on like? And? Do you make a bracha if it's a mitzvah, right? And then Perish HaMishnah. One thing Rambam did not change his mind on is we do not make a bracha on charoses. The question is why? Perish HaMishnah says, no, we don't make a bracha on charoses. It must be a pasuk glos bar tzadah. If it was a mitzvah, we make a bracha. And then in the Mishnah Torah, he still doesn't say anything about a bracha. If you read throughout, that's actually to take a look at the following halacha and different spots in Perek Ches, because in the following halacha Zayin Beis, it talks about Mar, it does mention Achilas Mar and the Zabracha, and you look throughout Perek Ches is where he actually takes you through the Seder, and he mentions Charoses multiple times. He mentions Charoses for which three foods?
Matzah and Mar.
Right, in halacha Perek Ches halacha Beis, he talks about dipping the karpas and charoses, and Ches, I believe it is, he talks about dipping both the matzah into charoses and the mor into charoses. There's a lot of charoses going on at the Rambam Seder, but never a bracha. Never a bracha. So the Rambam still agreed. The Rambam still, I do know Jews who, after Korach is over, will eat a kazayas charoses to make the Mordechai happy, some will eat matzah with charoses to make the Rambam happy. So really not a chiyuv, but that's the way the Rambam's Rambam Seder was very very charoses was the dip. Charoses was the dip, and yet there's no bracha whatsoever. So what's going on? What's going on? So as the Rambam changes mind on how we which time we accept, he also changes mind on whether mitzvah implies bracha. So that's why the Lechem Mishnah goes on to say that that's, again, to read Lechem Mishnah sensitively, that's what he's trying to get at. He says, okay, he changes mind on psak, but then there's another moving part. As you wrote in Perusha Mishnah, the mitzvah Rabbanan, don't tell me it's a mitzvah Rabbanan. Mevarcha amar b'zman hazeh, Rabbanan. That's for those who remember the sugis of Chanukah in Bava Matlikin. The Gemara says, of course, we make brachas on Rabbanans. Says even you could say, no, it says, ah, you're telling me marar. Maybe marar is different. Yesh l'chalik marar hayav min daraisa b'zman shabbes hamidosh kayam. Marar, there is a marar which is daraisa. If you eat marar with karm pesach, marar is daraisa. Says maybe that's why I make a bracha marar. No, he says. They make brachas on Neres Hanukkah. That's entirely drabanan. They make brachas on Mikra Megillah. So why do we make a bracha on Charosa? Don't tell me it's because Charosa is drabanan. So what's talk of the pshat? So that's curiosity number one. Curiosity number two is a line in a rush that's, I think, was most famously attacked by the Shagas Aryeh. If you look in the footnotes of the Shagas Aryeh, they give you a thorough listing of who, before and after the Shagas Aryeh, also dealt with this rush. But I think it's often said over as the Shagas Aryeh's kasha. And that's already apparently Truman Sadeshin talks about it. Let's take a look at that rush at Mara. Also, a curious... Here, what by Charosis, what's curious is the bracha is missing. By Mara, what's curious is the bracha is in sort of almost the opposite. It seems a little too prominent. Here, the Rush is here in the middle of Simon Chaf Hei. He's commenting on Psachim Kuf Yidal and Beis. Achol Achatzah and Yatzah. Vachi Yishuvah Me'achil L'chavar Teres Me'gdeh Pas. You're going to eat Mara. So the you learn Daf Kuf Yidal and Beis. If you eat Mara, you don't have to eat it all in one swallow. If you eat it piece by piece, that's fine, as long as one of the uniquenesses of the act of eating in halachic definition is that there's a sheer zman letzari. If I could do multiple actions, they all are hang together as one, assuming they happen within a time frame. What's that time frame? Kidei achilas pras. This what appears in Kuf Yidal on the base. You could eat chatzi kazayas, another chatzi kazayas, but obviously chol chatzon implies that you don't have to eat all at the same time, but there is a certain amount that needs to be eaten. There is a requirement for a kazayas. So Rosh says, how come you need a kazayas of Mara? Mishum de mevarach achilas Mara, so sheyochal kazayas. Since you're making a bracha achilas Mara, you got to eat a kazayas. Ein achila p'chusa mikazayas. Ein achila p'chusa mikazayas. No such thing as achila less than a kazayas. But karpas, avol yirakas rishonos, this is in the Rush. All you make on the carpas is merely birkas hanan in a bar pi adama beis pei hey alef sent barei pri ha adama. Ei maskim aleim achila. You don't say achila. You don't say al achilas carpas. So that's why carpas doesn't require a kazayas. Ein tarech mehem kazayas. So the Rosh seems to have told us in Perek Yud Simon Chafhei of Psachim. Now what? Now you don't need a kazayas for Mar. Why? Why do you need a kazayas for Mar? Because you say Al-Khilas Mar. And therefore what? That logic for me. Right? So it sounds like, I've got to make sure I don't want to be Dover Shkarim. I don't want to lie. I'm saying to Al-Khilas Mar, better make sure it's true. Now what's strange about that? I have to eat Kazayasamar because of the bracha? Number one, I have to eat Kazayasamar because Achila is the Kazayas. Forget about the bracha. Achila is the Kazayas. And when it was Daraisa, so you had to have Achila's Mar Mar Torah. Now you have Achila's Mar Jabban. The reason why I have to have a Kazayas of Matzah is because you say a bracha Achila's Matzah? No, because it's a mitzvah, Achila's Matzah. The bracha is Jabbanan. The requirement for kazayis on matzah presumably is daraisa, because there's a mitzvah achilas matzah, and achila means kazayis. Achila pachad kazayis is not just a rule in how you interpret the language of brachos; it's a rule how you interpret the language of halacha in general. If the Torah says the mitzvah achilas matzah, so you have to have achilas matzah. Achila means kazayis. Lasnik kazayis is not a full, not achila at all, not a full achila. So it doesn't qualify as a full fulfillment of achilas matzah unless you had a kazayis. So all of a sudden, here, because of the bracha is an afterthought. It's like putting the cart before the horse. She says, no, you need achila samara. So memela, chazal come along, when they can bracha, you need why is matzah need kazayis? Because that's a mitzvah, achila. Achila is kazayis. Step one. Step two, once you have a mitzvah, achila is matzah, so chazal recited a bracha on achila is matzah as well. But the bracha is not the reason why you have a kazayis and matzah. The bracha is a consequence. The bracha is an effect, not a cause. So the causality in the flow of ideas in the rush is very, very strange. This is, doesn't seem like it should be the reason, and there is another reason there should be. The Shagazare Simen Kuf, so it's the Shagazare Simen Kuf, you should just know, you've heard, I've shown the name of Shagazare in the past. Shagazare is probably one of the most original of the Achronim. And he wrote a sefer which is theoretically a tshuva sefer. I say theoretically because I don't think he was getting the shilas as a rabbi of a town. I don't think many people were asking him, so how do I do Milan Yishma'ilim Bezman Hazeh? Or, you know, is saying Zechir Sitzias Yisrayim, like, is that the Raisa Drabbanon? Because we're not exactly, it could be someone was asking about Sosma and Kriyashma, but again, I don't think it was like the Gabi in the Shul wasn't asking when we had the latest meeting. So these were shilas in the sense of chidushim about topics rather than chidushim al seder ha-masechta. So officially it's about Arachayim, Lamais is about everything. So Simon Kuf, near the end of the Matzah Mar section, his shayla is, how much mar do you have to have in Korech? That's how he gets into this. How much mar do you have to have in Korech? Well, you're not making a bracha. So according to the Rosh, if you're not making a, you don't make a bracha on the Korech, so I don't have to have a kazayis. And he said, wow, what's this Rosh talking about? This is a very difficult Rosh. But bracha, this is, everything is backwards. And you need kazayis because the mitzvah of achila. Maybe the Torah, does the Torah ever say achila by mar? Does it not? He has that discussion. But either way, the bracha is not the reason. It seems inside out. So Rav made the following suggestion. And the Shechter in Eretz HaTzvi, there are four of the 40 pieces in Eretz HaTzvi, four of them are entitled Kuntres. And those are four shtiklach that, those were four pieces that the Shechter wrote up, essays, weaving together yisonos of the Rav about particular topics from a variety of shiur over the course of a variety of years. The Siman Gimel in Eretz HaTzvi is Kuntres Birkas HaMitzvos, where he put together sort of different pieces that the Rav had spoken about in different years into a single coherent whole. So he points out that the Rambam Charosis is very, very fascinating. One thing that's fascinating, something else we didn't notice yet. Take a look back at that the line in Perek Zayin Alach Yiral. There's something that's missing. The Rambam is giving us here, this is the mitzvah of charosas. So there's a verb that appears here very intriguingly, and there's something that's missing. Really another verb which is missing from this description. Let's start with what's missing, yeah? Oh, well, tell me what's... Yeah, Mevino Sal Ashulchan Bulei Pesach. He spent a lot of time talking about the Chabad. What did he say? Charos is a mitzvah, Zeich Latit. Here's how you make it. Goes through the whole recipe. And then that's all happening before Pesach, presumably. And then what happens at the Seder? You bring it to the table. That's all he could say. How about you?
Eat it,
dip it. Right? It's all about dipping. As a matter of fact, and we saw, ironically, as you pointed out before, in Parakhest, Ram has so much to say, everything gets dipped in the charoses. The carpets get dipped in the charoses, and the matzah gets dipped in the charoses, and the morgue, everything goes, anything that can, goes in the charoses. I believe he says the Karm Pesach does not. Karm Pesach, I believe, is eaten alone, but everything else. I mean, you don't dip your abrikosis in the charoses, but the carpets, the matzah, the mar, it's all going in the charoses.
Couldn't it just be talking about the charoses, how you make it, bring it on the table, and use it for the rest of the Seder?
Maybe. It could be, but what's strange is, You're right. It could be, well, he'll explain the details later. He is explaining the details later. But the point is that means it's just details. Because when he talks about Heseba, he tells you, you eat and drink Heseba, and you eat Matzah Heseba, you eat Arbakos Heseba. That's in Perek Zayin. When he talks about Arbakosas in Perek Zayin, he tells you, you have to drink the Arbakosas. He doesn't work at every last detail of it, and how all the pieces get put together in order, that's what happens in the Perek Ches. But it's fascinating that all the dipping doesn't appear in the description of the mitzvah at all, which means that the dipping is sort of like, that's the implementation. That's how we actually perform. Those are the details of how we actually get done the mitzvah. But it's not what the mitzvah isn't to use as a dip. The mitzvah sounds like it's primarily that it should be present. How do you make sure it's present? How do you highlight its presence as much as possible? That's what it sounds like you think. It's really a mitzvah to have it on the table. How do you make it as significant a player as possible? So we'll use that and we'll try to dip as many things as we can. But fundamentally, that's all ways of actualizing the mitzvah of having chavrusos. That's interesting. What does that do for me? And what does that do for the lack of bracha? So let me ask you a question. We might have touched on this during the year at some point. The din is, if you buy a house and move in, you are when do you have to put up mezuzah? So if you rent a house in Chutz La'aretz, you're only chayv to put mezuzah beyond 30 days. Some post-mall, it's a question of how long your lease is, but many assume that you're only mechayv to put mezuzah after 30 days. If you buy a house, the Gemara says clearly, Gemara says in Eretz Yisrael, you always have to put mezuzah right away. Mishum Yishum Eretz Yisrael, but that's a special, Eretz Yisrael is a special exception. Mikra Adin, if you're a renter, it's only chiyuv lachar lamed yom. If you're an owner, it's a chiyuv immediately. It's a common misconception. It's important to know, if you buy a house, you move into a house that you own, you're mechayv to put mezuzah on moving day. Moving day is for those who have gone through a move. It's pretty busy usually. It's rather like 1,001 pieces all happen at the same time. Hopefully all the pieces of house number one are arriving intact in house number two. But there's a lot of busyness. And as much as you plan in advance, you try to plan in advance to make things as efficient as possible. But even if things are being done very smoothly, it's still a lot going on. So oftentimes the person will say, well, maybe one of the things I can outsource is kvias mezuzah. I want to make sure the mezuzahs are up. And I'm not sure a lot of details how to put up right in different locations. And I want to make sure it gets done on time. So let's say you have a friend, and your friend is moving into a new house. And he says to you, can I ask you, and the people offer to help. So people have to help. It should sometimes make sense to take them up on their offer. So you say, you know what you could do? You could do it. Put my mezuzah. Do you mind putting my mezuzah for me? We'll go over it beforehand. We'll look through the house together. I did a walkthrough of the house with the rabbi, so I know where mezuzahs need to. Which doors need mezuzah? Which direction? So maybe I can show you. I'll give you the mezuzah in advance, and you'll take care of it. Friends, you say, no problem. Be my pleasure. I'll take care of the mezuzah. So moving day comes, and they're moving in, and you're busy going through the house step by step. Put up the mezuzahs. Who makes the bracha on kfiyas mezuzah?
Both.
Ooh. So most posts can assume, like Yossi, that it's the fellow who puts it up. There are some who suggest that it's the owner of the house who makes the bracha, but the dominant view is that it's you, the friend who's being helpful, makes the bracha. And the problem is, that's very strange. How do you make a bracha mezuzah? You're not mekayim mezuzah. You're being mekayim mitzvah chesed. You're doing gemilas chasad. So this week's parak, first parak in Perek Yavis, Torah Avodah Gemilas Chasad. Chesed is very, very important. You're Mekayim Chesed. We don't make a Birkas HaMitzvah on Chesed, though. We do make a Birkas HaMitzvah on Kviyas Mezuzah, but you're not Mekayim Kviyas Mezuzah. He is.
He's a shliach.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, so sometimes shlichas. But the whole idea of shlichas by mitzvah is a difficult one. And most assume that even if he didn't make you formally a shliach, the shliach shlichas in the formal sense of shulchan kamos are usually to create a chalos. Like, I don't have the right to buy or sell. I don't have the right to sell your property, but if you make me a shliach, you give me the power that you have. Now I have that koach habayelus to sell your property. That's sort of classic shlichus. Here it's more just a question of relaying my action back to you. It's not a question of authorization. Not that you're giving me your power as the owner of the house to be able to create a chalois of mezuzah on the house. So the predominant view, though, is that the one who's doing the kviyas mezuzah is the one who makes the bracha. Why? Because what you see from many, there are many different indications that when Chazal or Masakin, the whole notion of brachas in general, Birkas HaMitzvah in particular, the Birkas HaMitzvah relate not to the Kima HaMitzvah, but to the Maisa HaMitzvah. That's why it's true that when I put a mezuzah in your house, you're the one who's Mekayim mezuzah, but I'm doing, the Kima HaMitzvah is yours, but the Maisa HaMitzvah certainly is mine. And brachas follow, just to give a quick example from the world of Birkas HaNanin. If I were to get up here with no cup in hand and make a Bori Priya Geffen and just continue a shir, so what would your reaction be? Bracha Latala. That's pretty strange. Like, what did you just do? So I'd say, what's wrong? What I said is true. I blessed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's Elokeinu, who's Melech HaOlam, and he indeed is Borei Pri HaGefen. He created fruits of the vine. So I'm not drinking any wine now. But what? It's a true Shevach. I am praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's wrong? So we intuitively have been trained, Baruch Hashem, to say, no, that's Bracha Latala. When Bracha Latala, it's an accurate Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I said, Shehakol Nivra Dvaro, the entire world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the entire universe. So I don't eat or drink anything. So what? It's a true Shevach. So what do you see? You see, yes, it is a true Shevach, but at least on level of Drabanan, Chazal instituted this institution of brachos, Birkas HaNanin and Birkas HaMitzvahs. It's specific, it has to be, can't just be, I say a Shevach. It has to be in conjunction with, usually, a Maisa. And certainly in the world of Birkas HaMitzvahs, it appears, and Shevach does maybe more generally an event, but in terms of Birkas HaMitzvahs, it seems like it's the Maisa Mitzvah. That's why if I'm playing with mezuzah for you, I'm doing the Maisa, you're getting the Kiyam Mitzvah, I'm the one who makes the Bracha. That's why also, you know that there's a major, major discussion that the Rajba and others quote from Yosef ibn Palat about making which mitzvahs need brachas, which mitzvahs don't need brachas. As the Gemara says, kol mitzvahs kulin mevarchin over las yasan, make a bracha. It sounds like in every single mitzvah. Kol mitzvahs kulin, all mitzvahs. Mevarchin alein over las yasan. You make a bracha before you do them. All mitzvahs. There's so many exceptions. There's Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and there's Chesed, and there's Amunah, there's Kibud Av Ve'Em, and there's Kiddush, and Birkas HaMazon. There are so many mitzvahs that we do without brachas. And there are a number of mitzvahs we do with brachas, but there are loads that we do without brachas. What? You don't make a Birkas HaMitzvah on Kiddush. Okay. Right, I don't make a Sher Kishon Zosef Yitzivan Lizkar Es HaShavas. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's a Gemara and brachas of Chafun Beis, where it says that both men and women are chayv min HaTorah, which means that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Zochet Zom HaShavas Kachem. You don't make a bracha Lizkar Es Sher Kishon Zosef Yitzivan Lizkar Es HaShavas. Why not? We don't make brachas on Isurim. Even on many mitzvahs, we don't make bracha. So we've shown him work on Yosef ibn Palat, is quoting the Chuvas HaRashba, long conversation, Abu Drama quotes a conversation about this. Meiri talks about this at length. The Rama talks about it not length. He has a very short conversation about it, the beginning of Perek Yudaf of Brachos. One of the major themes that seems to emerge is number of Rishon, many Rishon, not the Rambam, say right from the outset, look, there are multiple factors at play. There isn't going to be one answer that answers everything, but there are a couple of criteria that you need, and you need a handful of criteria in order for any mitzvah to meet multiple criteria in order to be eligible for a bracha. But a major criterion is that you need a maisa, and a well-defined maisa. So emunah, which is an incredibly important mitzvah, but one that you typically fulfill in your mind and heart, there's no bracha. Or even something like kibud av ve'em, which you do typically fulfill b'ma'aseh, not respect, but service. You get your parent, get a parent a cup of coffee. You teach your parent how to use his or her new gadget. you take care of ordering tickets, you fix it, whatever it is, right? You drive to the supermarket, you got your license, right? Now you have the opportunity to do some shopping trips, run errands. So those are ma'ase mitzvah, but they're not well-defined ma'ase mitzvah. Right. Lulav is a well-defined mitzvah. I can define what lakichas lulav looks like. I can define what yeshiva basukah looks like. Certainly achila. That's why maybe you want to only make a bracha on achila. But to define kibra aveim, there are 1,001 different types of masim that could fall under the rubric of kibra aveim. If there isn't a mitzvah and it isn't a well-defined mitzvah, there's no bracha. And that brings us back to charosas. Because after all, the question of charosis fits into the larger question of all those mitzvahs that have no bracha. And what the Rav suggested, that's the key line, the end of Halachir Alf, mevinos al shulchan. The core mitzvah is to have it there, because it's a zecher. So it's not like a matzah that you eat. It's to have it there. The way you have it there as substantially as possible is dip things into it. Right? But as you know, you shake off the charoses. No chiyuv to ingest a lot of charoses, because the core chiyuv is really mevino sal al shulchan. And the Rav suggested that might be shot in the rush also. Okay, but we'll close with this for now. That might be shot in the rush also. When the rush spoke about maror, so it could be a way who's driving as, of course, Moro Doraisa, it's a mitzvah achila. But the question is, Moro Drabban, Bizman has said Moro is only Drabbanan, Zecher L'Mikdash. That's already a good question. What do you mean, Zecher L'Mikdash? That we saw the world of Spirit Saul there, that Amemar had raised the possibility, which Baal HaMor on the side of the Rif expands upon, Zecher L'Mikdash B'Alma. It's just a Zecher L'Mikdash, I might have to do the full Waisa. Because you're just trying to make a zecher l'mikdash. The point is not so much the sphera as much as the connectedness to mikdash. It's almost like a gavra chefza question. It's really about whenever you have a zecher l'mikdash, you have to ask yourself, how much is it about this ma'aseh mitzvah versus the point is really just that it's another opportunity for me to be connected to mikdash. So then the Rav suggests what the Rush is really clarifying about is what's the nature of Marad Rabbanan. And he said, the point was the fact that you make, it's not just the fact the language of Achila is used in the bracha, it's also the fact that the bracha is made at all. In fact, the bracha is made at all, and the language of Achila in the bracha gives me insight into the nature of Marar Drabanan. Marar Daraisa at Psukim in Chumash, but how about Marar Drabanan? Marar La'achar Churban Habayis. I don't have any Psukim in Chumash about that, but I do have a bracha. And the bracha indicates that too is a real, unlike Charoses, there, it's true that the rationale might have been Zeichel and Mikdash, but you see that the nature of Takan's Chazal was he wanted to actually engage in Achilas Mar. You'll accomplish Zeichel and Mikdash, but there's actually the core Chiyuv is Achilas Mar. We will emerge him next time. So far, what did we explain very briefly? Let's recap incredibly quickly. We got to explain. The absence of bracha and charoses and what seems like the overemphasis on bracha by Marar both stem from this core notion that birkas hamitzvah are always relate to a maisa. If there's no maisa or insufficiently well-defined maisa, there's no bracha at all. And when there is a maisa, the bracha will follow the osa hamasa. Tomorrow we'll see. Maybe we'll flip. Tomorrow we'll pick up. Seeing how that you can think about it over the course of the next number of hours, how that might solve the Bahag's problem, and we'll have another solution as well. And I'm glad to hang around for questions.